between the video that Kalen showed this morning earlier and that one, that pretty much covers everything I had this morning. So I'll go ahead and pray us out, and we'll head on. I have to ask this question. Are there any veterans here today? Is there a family here that has a veteran or active military member in it? Just raise your hand if you have one. That's good. Yeah, no, me too. I have a couple Marines in my family tree, and I know my wife has a few in hers. And it's in this country, we're kind of hard pressed to find a family that's not affected by military service in some way. And today, or tomorrow, or sometime, whenever you see those people or the rest of your family members, just thank them for their service in some small way if you can. Even the families, immediate families of those active duty service members, they're serving too. If they're not in the military, they're still supporting the military, and it's important to understand that those people are serving as well. I'd like to start off with our scripture for today. It's in the book of Exodus, Exodus 28, verse 29. And Kalen's probably already got that up. But it says this: whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breastpiece of decision as a continuing memorial before the Lord. You can keep that up there for a while if you want to, but we're going to come back to that in just a minute. Now, tomorrow, here in the United States, is Memorial Day. The observance of Memorial Day for those killed in the line of duty defending our country began shortly after the Civil War. Now, this is going to be a lot of historical stuff here for just a second, so let me back up. Like I said, you know, I do book reports, and really the Bible doesn't have much to say about Memorial Day specifically, just like it didn't say very much about Mother's Day. But we'll go with this. Michael Buckles, it says this: the Grand Army of the Republic began honoring the soldiers who died for the Union Army on May 30th, 1868. Now, the Grand Army of the Republic, if you Google search that, and I know you, everybody's looking at me like the Grand Army of the Republic, except Michael. He knows the Grand. If you Google search that, you get two different definitions depending on if you look at Wikipedia or if you look at Wookiepedia. Two different armies. But this one was actually, I know. This one was a, and that's about, yeah, I know. That's all the humor for this, because, you know, that's I'm done. But the Grand Army of the Republic, like I said, it's not what you thought. It was actually more like a veterans association for the Union Army. It was the Union Army, the Union Navy, the veterans from that side kind of banded together. And they started doing this. And back then it wasn't called Memorial Day. It was called Decoration Day, because they would decorate the tombs of the soldiers, Union soldiers, who had died in the Civil War. And, of course, at that time, there was still a lot of hatred between the North and the South, and a lot of the former Confederate soldiers refused to use the same day to honor their fallen comrades because it was too close to the date of the surrender of the Confederate Army at Appomattox. So the South used various other dates to commemorate and have its own version of Decoration Day. And it wasn't until after World War II that the American Legion kind of unified the nation and established a nationally observed Decoration Day in honor of all American soldiers killed in the line of duty. And it began to be called Memorial Day. And they finally established that as the last Monday in May to observe that day nationwide. And even after that, there's still a few southern states that still wanted to kind of do their own day in their own time. And we're kind of stubborn like that. Maybe some of you have noticed the veterans standing at crossroads or at businesses or establishments taking donations for wounded veterans and handing out the little red paper poppies in return, right? Have you ever wondered why the little red poppies? Some of you probably already know this. I know most of these guys over here probably never heard it before. The little red poppies are given out in all the military cemeteries because all of the military cemeteries established in France after the Great World Wars, everywhere there's a grave, those red, real red poppies would bloom all over those graves. And the poppy, that red poppy, became a symbol of the sacrifice in blood of all the veterans. And the VFW began their poppy sales in 1922 to raise money for the disabled and destitute veterans. In those days, we really didn't have a Department of Veteran Affairs. And a lot of those veterans were pretty much left on their own. They didn't have any benefits that were available to them. Got better over the years, but really there wasn't a fully functional VA like we know it today until like 1930. So they were kind of on their own, and that's where the poppy sales and the poppies came from. On Memorial Day, a wreath of flowers is laid on the grave of the unknown soldier at Arlington Cemetery in Virginia. Small American flags are placed on all the graves in the national cemeteries and in many of the private cemeteries as well. There are speeches and parades and patriotic programs. There's a parade or a ceremony in virtually every town or city across our nation. And it's a good thing to remember the sacrifice of those who have given their lives in service to our country. And we should continue to do that. Interestingly, when the first Memorial Day was celebrated, a group of women from the Washington, D.C. area asked the War Department for permission to put flowers on the soldiers' graves at Arlington Cemetery. And there was a lot of haggling and a lot of back and forth, and they finally got the permission, and it was only granted with a stern order that no flowers were to be placed on the graves of the Confederate soldiers who were buried in kind of a segregated section of the cemetery. Which I know that aggravates a lot of people, right? The ladies, according to the story, carried out their task. They were careful to follow all the instructions. Then General James Garfield made a speech. And after the crowds had left, this account was it was a clear day, no wind. All of a sudden, there was a very strong wind that blew almost all the flowers over into the Confederate area. And after that, that separation was never repeated. A lot of people there consider that to be divine intervention. So from then on, flowers for everybody. There's a saying that's often found in military memorials, and it's seen on banners and patches, and it's very fitting because it's very true. And the saying is this. It says, all gave some gave all. And we've all seen that. Memorial Day is to honor the sacrifice of those soldiers who gave all for the cause of freedom. It's easy to forget, really easy for us to forget that when we enjoy our worship every Sunday. It's easy to forget when we go to vote freely at every election and when we drive from state to state without having to have passports or, you know, the proper documentation and going through checkpoints. It's easy to forget that when we watch television programs that really fully engage the free speech cause. It's easy to forget that when we're enjoying hot dogs and hamburgers and having picnics on Memorial Day and kind of celebrating the first day of summer. It's easy for us to forget. Maybe that's why our forefathers erected monuments to remind citizens of the sacrifice that was made. Like I said before, most small towns have monuments that are obvious to those who pass by. Here in Bristol, we have the Memorial Park that honors members of all branches of service. There's another really nice memorial in Kingsport, another one in Johnson City, one in Irwin. Virtually every city has some type of memorial. New York City has constructed the Freedom Tower that reminds us of our pursuit of freedom, despite the terrorist attack of 9/11 on the World Trade Center, and all the innocent victims of that tragedy. And the reason that we have all of those memorials is that it's very easy for us to forget. And that's why we need memorial days. Those days are opportunities to remind us of the price that was paid for our freedom. God knows how forgetful we are. He's dealt with that forgetfulness before. In Deuteronomy 8:19, God cautioned the people, even in Moses' day. He said, if you ever forget that the Lord your God, or if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Unfortunately, they did forget the blessings of God, and they constructed a golden calf to worship. You remember that story? And they worshiped the golden calf instead of worshiping the miracle-working God that delivered them from Egypt, and they ended up suffering the consequences of that. Since God knows how forgetful his people are, he wanted to remind the high priest and the people of his covenant with the people of Israel, so he commanded that the priest wear a special breastplate of linen cloth and gold rings and precious jewels, one for each of the sons of Israel. There are 12 in all. And even after all that, a few hundred years later, just a couple of generations down the road, an entire generation of God's people forgot the Lord. Judges 2:10 says, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. God knows it's easy for us to forget. Yet there's always a price to pay when we do. When we forget, we repeat the same mistakes. We turn to the wrong places for answers. When we forget, we seek solutions in places and programs and people rather than God. We become comfortable and we become selfish. When we forget, we become greedy and demanding. We become hateful and not loving. Why did God give these precious stones to the high priest to wear? You know, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. I believe that was simply as a memorial to remind his chosen people that each person, though different in every way, is still precious and that he will never forget us. And he will never forget us. Isaiah 44:21 says, I have made you. You are my servant, O Israel. I will not forget you. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Like I said, God knows how forgetful we are, but he will never forget us. And those precious jewels that the Old Testament priest wore were to cover his heart, reminding him and the people that God always has his people on his heart, and that he loved them deeply and cared for them. As Isaiah 43 says, you are precious and honored in my sight. Today we no longer have that breastpiece, and I believe that it has been replaced by another memorial, and I think that memorial is the Lord's Supper. Jesus began this memorial when he said, do this in remembrance of me. The bread and the cup remind us of the sacrifice that was paid for our spiritual freedom. We were bound and imprisoned by sin, but the blood of Jesus has set us free. Because God knows how easy it is for us to forget, he gave us the Lord's Supper as a tangible memorial to remind us that Jesus gave not some, but all to purchase our freedom and to redeem us and to set us free. God has never forgotten his children. He continues to remind us how precious we are to him every day. It is a continual memorial, just like Aaron's breastplate of the Old Testament. But instead of precious stones, we have the precious blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that constantly serve as a reminder for us. We should all live our lives as a continual memorial to Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. And as Christians, the love and joy and peace that flows from us should be a reminder of God's power for everyone to see. To kind of wrap all this up, I said it was going to be kind of a short deal. I'd like to share one more little piece of historical trivia. A lot of us have probably noticed, you know, as we travel around the South, there's historical markers and memorials in most small towns that kind of memorialize the bloodiest war that was ever fought on our soil, you know, the Civil War. And there's little things along the side of the road everywhere you go. Over 600,000 people died in that conflict. But what's not known as well is that both the North and the South allowed substitute soldiers. In other words, if a man was drafted into the army or drafted to go fight, he could pay for another person to go to war in his place. Most of that was to pay someone to go and die in your place. Can you imagine how humbling that would have to have been? Here's this amount of money to go to war to die in my place. That practice lasted until 1863 in the South. At that point, there were just no more available men. And it began about the same time in the North, where immigrants were often paid to fight in someone else's place. And the term rich man's war and poor man's fight became popular in the South. Today, all of us gather for worship on this Memorial Day weekend, humbled, knowing that not only did soldiers die for our freedom as a nation, but that we had a substitute that died in our place for our eternal freedom. 1 John 4:10 is a very important scripture, and it says this: "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." He died for you. He died for me. May we never forget. He died for us. May we always live for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we remember that you love us. We thank you for every sacrifice that has been made on our behalf. We are thankful for the sacrifices Americans have made for this nation and for the freedom that we cherish. We thank you for the sacrifice you have made for us that gives us the ultimate freedom and a hope of eternal life, when we will all be together again in your presence. Father, we are blessed as a people. We have all known, all we have known in our lifetimes is freedom. So it's difficult for us to fully appreciate the sacrifices that our freedom required. Today I ask that you allow us to always remember, no freedom is free. A high price has been paid, especially the payment for the cost of our sin. Help us to never forget, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.